Hey, remember in the preview?
Yeah.
No, I mean, remember when you said,
Yeah.
you don't even know what I'm gonna say.
Remember when you said in your preview that you've been picking on the Sabres for 5 years on this channel, and so anything that happens to the Bruins in this series is actually completely your fault? Is that what you were gonna say?
Oh, so you do remember.
Tough to forget in this moment.
I bet. Playoff hockey rocks, though.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I just can't believe I let this one get away from me like this.
Really? You can't?
Look, I know we've had our fair share of blown leads lately, but to do this in game one of the playoffs is just so unlike me. Like, I feel different, you know? Like, what is happening to. Damn it. Low quality fiends of a high quality Bruins team. That is not a dub. In fact, that is like a not a dub squared. That is the worst version of not a dub. Because it would have been so easy to just lose this game in a normal way and to sit there and go, Buffalo, home crowd, first playoff game in 15 years. They've got the bounces, they whatever you want to say. You would write it off and just be like, okay, they struggle on the road. We knew this. We knew this about the Bruins. They were gonna struggle on the road, a lot of energy coming from Buffalo. First game was gonna be really challenging to win. But then you kind of won it, right? You kind of won it, and then you didn't, obviously. You didn't win it, but everything that you had worked 50 minutes plus for and achieved through that, which we're going to talk about, just got washed away. And there is plenty of blame to go around. The one thing, we're going to talk about so much of this stuff, but the one thing that's killing me with this is there's one lesson that they refuse to learn. And we keep having this conversation on this channel about holding leads. And the lesson they refuse to learn is to stop turtling. Stop turtling. And I would say I have faith that they're going to correct this issue, but they've done it for 6 months now. It's still bad. And you want to talk about, well, they have such a great record when they have a lead after three, blah, blah. Lately, no, they don't. Lately, it's we've seen since the Olympic break and right before the Olympic break, they're blowing leads left and right because they refuse to continue to play their game and they sit back and they sit back and they watch and they don't adjust. I don't. Woof. This is a tough pill to swallow because this was going to be a really hard series to win in the first place. And now it feels like you have to win 5 out of 7, right? You should have, this should have been one of the wins. And now it's one of the losses. You could have stolen home ice. This was awful. An awful way to lose this game. You did so much right for so much of this game. You were getting outshot, sure, but you were keeping it to the outside. Your clearances need to improve, but you were getting them when you needed them. You were opportunistic with your shooting and your scoring. And then it collapsed. And there's some bad luck in there that we can talk about, and we will, but it Jerry Lee just doesn't forgive the fact that the Bruins got exactly what they deserve tonight. They got exactly what they deserve tonight. And that's just a bummer. Because as soon as Swayman started to falter, team in front of him couldn't do anything to help him. And this isn't on Swayman. It's definitely like not on Swayman. Like this is one of those everyone's to blame, including the goaltender kind of games, but we'll talk about it. We already did an entire preview of this series, so I'm not going to do the whole Buffalo breakdown again because I'm just repeating myself at that point. Feel free to check it out. I still feel really strongly about everything I said in that preview, now having watched the first game, so I feel good about that, I guess. The Bruins lineup for this game is Geeky, Elias, Pasta, Mittelstadt, Zacha, Arvidsson, Hagens, Minton, Huznadinov, Janot, Corrali, Kastelic, Aspero, McAvoy, Hampus, Jokiharju, Zadorov, Peak, and Swayman is in net. I kind of thought we would see more of the kid line. It felt like they did not get a ton of ice time. In fact, there's a lot of people that seem to be rather
I just didn't see a ton of them. Let me just check in real quick. Time on ice. Minton got about 16 minutes. Hagen's got 11. Damn. Ustadinov got 14. Oof. Anyway, I guess we're just going to jump right into it, right? I don't even know how to do a preview for this one beyond the large preview video already done. I'm so frustrated. I'm just trying to get my head straight right now, but what do you even say about something like this? The end of this video is going to have a lot more fun topics. Not fun. Let's talk about this game.
Puck drops! And 9:08 left of the first period. The shot totals aren't crazy or anything like that. It's 4-2 Buffalo at this point. But it's been pretty much all Buffalo so far as possession goes. Which you would really expect, given the anticipation for this one and the volume of the crowd. But the Bruins handle it really well, keeping chances mostly to the outside, and despite clearly being the slower team, which they were clearly the slower team the entire game, they've been strong on their angles, and again, just making sure that there's support on the wing, people aren't getting to the slot. That's the game plan. We talked a lot about that in the preview as well. The play itself at this juncture is pretty simple. Bruins recover the puck in their zone. Zadorov and Pasta will play catch in the neutral zone before Pasta takes the ozone over the blue line above the glove side circle. He is going to attempt a shot. It is going to get blocked. It does appear that I think McLeod is going to be the first one to that block shot as the puck kind of sits right in the dead center of the slot. But Elias comes through and lays a hit on McLeod, so neither one of them are able to get the puck, which allows Geeky to skate in and hammer this glove side. It's 1-0. It was the perfect start for the Bruins because you knew you had a storm to weather early. You knew that they were going to have the puck. They were going to be speedy. They're going to be energetic. The crowd's going to be going. And then you counterpunch. And you counterpunch early enough that there's very little momentum for Buffalo at this point. The crowd gets a little nervous. And this crowd went silent. It got spooky. It literally, as the game continues, of course, till the end, it got quieter and quieter to the point where at a certain, this had to be beginning of the third, I think it was when it was 2-0, so 5 or 6 minutes into the third, I went, man, Buffalo has to, the crowd has to start getting involved here or something. Like, you can't go dead silent on your team like this. This is your first playoff game in 15 years. Let's see something, even if you're going down 2 goals, because you never know. Huh? You never know? You see? Okay, so it's 1-0, and Bruins fans feel good in this moment. 7:57 left. Dahlin for hooking is drawn by Geeky. We're going to go to power play. No dice on the power play. 5:15 left. Zadorov with a blatant and unnecessary cross-check on Krebs. I saw some debates about this one. If you take the stick and you extend the arms down and you hit him right in, like, the crease, right where the hips meet the back, you hit him right there, that's getting called if that guy doesn't stay on his skates every time. Every time that's getting called. Ba-boom. Like, that's a cross-check. That is, by definition. I saw a lot of people calling it soft. And honestly, it looked like a cross-check to me. I would be upset if somebody did that to Pasta and we didn't get the call. Anyway, we're going to the penalty kill. 6 shots allowed on the penalty kill, but Swayman was excellent. And we'll move on with a kill. 1:10 left, hooking on Zucker. We're going to the power play. I put penalty kill just out of a habit, I guess. And 7 seconds left of the period. It's a great feed from Minton to get the puck to Geeky at the bottom of the blocker side circle. Take a look at this picture. I know you can't see the puck, but the puck is on Geeky's stick. And he doesn't shoot. And they were speculating on the broadcast, maybe he never looked at the net, maybe he had already had it in his head that he was passing. I don't know. But that's a brutal picture, especially in hindsight. Never shoots that. He tries to pass into the slot where, of course, nothing happens. So we're going to go to the second period. We're up a goal. So it's a great start. You're up a goal after the first. That's exactly what you want. On the road where you play like ass against one of the most anticipated fan bases for the playoffs we've seen in years. And you have the lead after one. Huge success. Huge success. And you've started to build that frustration. We talked about it in the preview. You've kept things to the outside. Swayman's making the big saves. People are getting annoyed. Already you can see the players are like, this sucks. Good. Second period. Still 50 seconds on the power play. 23 seconds left of the power play. Zacha takes an incredibly obvious and unnecessary holding call.
So we're going to go to the penalty kill. Well, we'll do 4v4 for 23 seconds, and then we'll go to the penalty kill, which we do kill. 4 minutes in, Geeky with a great play to get the puck to Pasta on the breakaway. He has he's unable to collect this cleanly, which means by the time he is able to collect, he's in very tight on the goaltender. It ends up getting punched away from him. UPL hits it away from him as he's trying to deep past. That's fine. He's going to get another chance. 9:41 left of the period. It's another breakaway for Pasta. This time Pasta gets control early and is able to do what he wants. He tries to beat UPL. Glove side. Ooka Pekka Luukkonen. Glove side. No. No success there. Can you feel it? The dejection, the sadness, the pain. It's fine. It's game one. It's fine. We're going to lift ourselves back up into the positivity, either by talking about it, drinking heavily, or doing other substances. 7:18 left. Peak for holding. We're going to the penalty kill. We do kill it. Here comes the third period. You are up one goal. It's very important that you change that in a positive way. And they do. 108 in. It's a great shift by the top line where we actually had possession for a minute. We moved the puck for a second. But the play is going to come to its peak as the Bruins work the puck up the glove side wall to Peak, who hammers this back down, to Pasta, who's behind the net. Pasta sees that he has two sabers looking to close on him. And that means somebody's got to be open. Luckily for him, it was Geeky. Wide open in the slot. So a quick, clever pass under the legs of Owen Power to Geeky. Geeky gets his chance. Geeky's shot goes post and out, but the rebound does go to the glove side circle, where Elias collects it, and because UPL is trying to figure... Ooka Pekka Luukkonen! I just like saying the name. He's trying to figure out where the puck went, and as he's figuring that out, he did lose the short side post. Lose is a weird way to put it, because he left the short side post. Elias is able to beat him cleanly from there on that short side, and it is 2-0. You've extended your lead early in the third period to a two-goal lead. The one thing you can't do now is the thing you've done all year, which is turtle. You turtle, and you're giving everything back. And that's what they do. That's what they do. For the rest of the game, the focus for the Bruins is very clearly get it over the red line, get it in deep, go for a change. If you don't need a change, be ready in the neutral zone to handle the attack. There's no forechecking. There's just nothing. Occasionally, they came in with the forecheck on time and actually got possession for a moment. But this was just all Buffalo as they continued to just dump it down, go for the change, short shifts. It was awful to watch. But you're up 2-0. The building is dead silent, and you've built up the exact thing we had talked about. You wanted to make this team feel the pressure was on them. The fan base gets nervous. The players get nervous, and they're frustrated because they can't break through. Finishing this game off in that manner would have put you in a position where those thoughts still exist the next game. And instead, well, we'll get to it instead. We'll move on. 2:41 in. Pasta knocks a stick out of Dunn's hand. It's a weak call, and Dunn is barely holding the stick when it gets knocked away. But the only thing that actually bothered me about it is that they didn't call it until enough of the Sabres players were yelling at the refs, and then all of a sudden they're like, okay. I hate when a ref changes his mind because the player's yelling at him. That bothers me. So anyway, we're going to the penalty kill. We do kill it. 7:58 left. It's just been the Sabres sitting in our zone, shift after shift after shift, and they'll finally break through. It starts with McAvoy having a chance to send this puck down the ice, but he hesitates and tries to make a play in another direction. He ends up getting knocked away from the puck. The turnover results in a chance from the slot for the Sabres, but that chance gets blocked, ends up in the glove side corner before getting pushed behind the net. Behind the net, there's a few bodies back there. McAvoy thinks he's going to have the puck, but Tage rips it from him, and Swayman can't tell if it's going right or left, and so as he looks over his right shoulder and realizes it isn't there, he quickly tries to get back to the left post with his skate, but Tage is able to beat him there and is able to go around the post and tuck it quickly. So it's 2-1. Okay. You still have a lead. Not only that, Sturm responds to this with the kid line, with Hagens, and Huzdinov and Mitten, which I thought was very interesting. And their shift was fine. But you still have a lead. You're showing that you still have confidence in your boys. You get out this young line to be like, that's all right. Give us a jolt, whatever. But the thing is, you continue to turtle. You continue to not push. You just sat back and you invited them right back into the zone, which is what they did. And they got set up again. And then you bump the puck out and then they come back in. They get set up again. And you just allowed this. 4:16 left of the game. And it was just unfortunately predictable. This was very predictable. The Bruins' focus, again, clearing the puck, getting the puck deep, and going for a change, and inviting them right back into the zone. And the Sabres get back in. They push, they push, they push. This time, the puck gets deflected down to the back wall on the blocker side. Peak has an opportunity to make a play because he has time and space. But he tries to hold and tries to spin off the incoming hit. And it gets knocked away from him. And then Tage, again, is able to rip that puck away, skate his way up to the kind of bottom corner, inside corner of the blocker side circle, and he beats Swayman far post. And Peak sucks, as always. Just a reminder there, I will never understand Sturm's love of this guy. And they just want him in every game for some reason. And it's 2-2. And what do? You don't push. You just sit. You just sit. 3:48 left. Timmins, Benson, Corrale, Kastlik, they'll all go for roughing. We're going to stay at 5-on-5. And 3:24 left. The Sabres dump it in. Hampus gets there first, behind the net. Has plenty of time. But when he tries to make a play, stick breaks. Puck only goes a few feet. Quinn is able to jump on it. Feeds Samuelson in the slot. He goes high blocker. It's 3-2. Tuck will get an empty netter. Pasta will get some, with 6 seconds left, a backhander from distance, just has eyes, goes through a bunch of bodies, finds the back of the net. But 4-3. I'm not breaking down the backhand goal with 6 seconds left. I don't care. I'm like dejected right now. I cannot believe that they just refuse to learn any sort of lesson from this stuff. And the problem is, I'm really struggling to find any positivity out of it because the D-zone breakouts were bad throughout the game, for the most part. Like, the Sabres' forecheck looked way better than ours. Troublesome, but not unusual for this team. Surviving these has become kind of what the roster is built around, goaltending, all that kind of stuff. I'm not going to pick on Swayman too much. I didn't love all of the goals that were let in at the end, obviously. But it's just as much in the defense as it is on him, if not more so. I mean, more so, I'll say more so on the defense than it is him. You'd still love one of those saves, but this is where we're at. So I don't want to jump all over him, but I do want to point out, like, he's not innocent of all this. No, the bigger thing is the Sabres forecheck look better than ours. That's unacceptable. You're supposed to be built off this piss and vinegar. You're not fast enough. I know that. Like, forechecking is going to be lackluster sometimes because you can't keep up. If you're not forechecking, truly forechecking and creating opportunities for yourselves, and it's this easy for the Sabres to break out of their own zone, the series is over. You have to have a better forecheck than that. And I want to point out, the series is over is obviously overkill, but with a lack of forecheck through this game, they really did do a great job of keeping chances to the outside. The defensive structure, the neutral zone structure was good. But the Sabres did not give them any free offense like we talked about hoping to see. The forecheck has to be better to create more of those opportunities. If that doesn't improve, I do not see a way for the Bruins to win this game. But the reasons we're really struggling to find any optimism is because you got outplayed by a lot through this game. And it's not just about the shot totals, because, again, a lot of them are from distance, but you barely possessed the puck. Almost every single one of your lines was routinely getting hemmed in. You just got outplayed. You got outplayed throughout, and what you were going to get out of this, despite getting outplayed, and you had a two-goal lead with 7.5 minutes left, just about, you were going to walk into game two with a frustrated Buffalo team that just couldn't seem to break through, with a team that, or with a fan base that is already going to be nervous, with those players that are already going to be nervous, and all of the goodwill that could have been earned from a performance like that for Buffalo wasn't going to exist. Because no matter how well they had played, and they could be like, well, we liked our game, inside they're still like, well, we didn't friggin' win it, though. What if Swayman's just on one and we can't, we just cannot get through him? Or all of those doubts that you built up, the nerves and the fear that this was going to go terribly, all of those feelings you built up through 50 minutes, not only did you wash it away by just straight up collapsing, what's what the Bruins did, they collapsed in this game, but now Buffalo walks into game two, feels fresh and settled. They feel like they can handle the physicality because they brought it to us all night, right? We didn't win some physical battle here. When you want to talk about the battle of attrition and which teams are able to survive it, Buffalo seems completely unfazed. I know it's just game one, and we're talking about game 6-7 where you really want to see that stuff come into play. Buffalo seems unfazed. They're also very big, and they were very physical. I would argue more physical than we were through large pockets of this game. So the battle of attrition, I'm not going to be counting on it. And like I mentioned earlier, now it feels like you have to win 5 of 7. Feels like you just gave away a win. It's really tough to see the positivity coming from this one. I, of course, will have faith that they will rebound. It's just a bummer that they've made this way harder than it had to be. And you earned, technically, through 50 minutes, a better result than you got. But also, I really think I'm just signing on this, you got what you earned. I just was wildly unimpressed by the way the Bruins were dealing with having a lead against this team and against the speed that the Sabres have. Just really felt like they sat back and just allowed them to come wave after wave. Bummer. But it's a 7-game series, right? It's not a 1-game series. There's still plenty of hockey to be played. Gonna need a mental reset, obviously, for this. Oh, really hard to take any positivity out of this. Really, really tough. But that's playoff hockey sometimes. Yikes. Go Bees? Go Bees. Go Bees. Go Bees! Hey guys, thank you so much for watching this video and joining me as we experience this crazy Bruins season together. The names popping up on your screen now are from the top line tier and the all-star tier of the YouTube membership program for this YouTube channel. I greatly appreciate each and every one of you who helps support the channel so that we can do more fun things. And I am always open to more ideas of how I can help give back to those who support the channel. At the end of the day, this channel is always going to be about the community, and I want to continue to grow that way. So please always feel free to reach out with new ideas and fun ways we can expand on this. Or if you just need someone to talk to, I'm always here for you guys. Thank you all for your support. And as always, go Bees!